Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back after the benediction is back. We bridging the gap between Sunday and Wednesday, Wednesday and Sunday. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Top of the show, victory, Todd Tribbett. Let's praise him. Here we go. Hey, shout out to my man E. He killed this at the concert. Come on. Hey, hey, hey. Because the devil is defeated and God be praised. Hey, this is not a job. Hey, praising him is not a job. But if you want change, come on now. Come on. No. He had me. Come on. Hey, hey, hey. That's all y'all get. The top of the show. That's great. Todd Tribbett, victory. I hope y'all heard me. I shouted out my best friend, my boy E. Eric Terrell, the baddest comedian on the East Coast. And he's expanding. He'll be out here. I'm in Miami, Florida. I'm doing a podcast called After the Benediction, an online podcast. And it's just a word, man. It's just a word. Whatever God's given me, you know, I just wanna uplift His name, man. And I've been struggling. I'll be honest. I've been struggling back and forth whether or not to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to get my walk right, but before I'm representing Him. But I started to think about it, man. Listen, nobody's perfect. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm able to do is God given. And I hope that this word can really uplift somebody that's that needs a word, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I want to bridge the gap between Sunday, Wednesday, you know, or whenever you listen to it. I'm going to do one show a week. I'm going to try to be consistent with one show a week. I'm going to try to stay true to that one. I'm going to stay true to one show a week. I'm going to leave out the try. I'm going to stay true to one show a week. And you might get a word. We might just praise Him the whole show, you know, just gospel music and just an opportunity to really focus on His word and His will and His way. But I'm excited about this one today, man. I got a word today. I don't know about next week. God will handle that. Tomorrow's not promised. But listen, this word I'm excited about, you know, from scratch type word. So listen, top of the show, this word that I have is coming from Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 through 19, and we're talking about living in the fog. You know, we're talking about living in the fog. And while you guys look for that chapter, look for the message, I want to talk about what the fog is. You know, I'll tell you a story while you guys look for the message. When about 6 or 7 months ago, I had to come out to Miami to find a place to live. And I came out with my boy E, and we came out, our funds were very low. I'm talking about just for the trip. Just to make it on a trip. When we got off the plane, it was about 3 a.m. in the morning. We caught a shuttle bus to the rental place. We couldn't get a rental car because we didn't have enough money. You know, and the whole purpose of this trip was to ride around. No, not to ride around. It was to sign the lease on my house. Man, God is so good. Let me tell you, I came out. We couldn't get the car. So we said, you know what? We just going to go to Dawn's house and we going to chill there, you know. And God sent me a ram in a bush a long time ago, because when I was working at Comcast in the summer of 2013, while I was still in college, I was working with Dawn, and Dawn ended up moving to Miami. You know, God already seen me getting the job that I have and me moving to Miami. So He put her back in her Miami home so that I could, when I came out here with low funds, I wouldn't have to pay for a hotel. She was my ram in a bush. And me and Eric stayed at her house with her son, with our two little sons. They both twins, 10 years old, going on 11, and her mother, Sita. And so I came out. I didn't have no money. I had money, but very little money. I had like $300. And anybody that knows about traveling for 7 days, $300 is nothing. But I serve a great God. When I got out here, I stayed at her house for free. We woke up the next morning after not getting a rental car, and God said, ask Sita, if you give her $100, could you use her car? So I consulted with Eric. We talked about it. We went downstairs. We said we had a proposition. She said, I'm listening. We said, we'll give you $100 if you let us use your car for the week. She said, no. You don't have to give me a dime. Just make sure that the gas is filled up in the car. You know what I'm saying? That's the first blessing in the story. So now we still got about $250 a piece, $260, because we had to pay for the taxi from the place to her house. We got lost in the taxi because we didn't know how to get to her house. So then about 3 days later, when the rent was due, I told you I had $300. The rent for the first month was $1,200. I'm keeping it real. I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't have any of it by that point. I had about $100. And I called my coach, my high school coach, and he didn't answer that night before. I was so upset. I had came out on faith. I stepped out on faith. I knew that God wouldn't give me this job. God wouldn't put me in this position to leave me. I knew he wouldn't. It was no way. So I woke up the next morning, and I'm sitting downstairs, and I like, you know what? I got to tell him. So I told him the story. And while I'm telling him the story, I had to step outside because my coach called me. And I said, hey, coach, hey, listen. I'm out here. I don't have the money, but I will have it because my job is going to give. They're going to give me the bread. Coach said, "I will handle it. What you need? Tell me how to do it. Just make sure you get it back to me." I said, "Done." Answer my prayers right then and there in the middle of the storm. God said, "I'm gonna get you out the way for being faithful." So I said to see. I came back in. I said, "Man, God is so good." And she said, "I know that's right." And Sita said, "You just gotta live in the fog." And I'm like, looking at E like, what's the fog? And she said, the favor of God. So the topic of this word is living in the fog, living in the favor of God. I got this two blessings that really has, you know, kind of set with me. And since she said that to me, the favor of God, living in the fog, it's been in the pit of my stomach, in the back of my head. And every time I hear a word here and a word here, I'm just like, live in the fog. And on Nick and Eric in the Morning, we always say live on purpose and live in the fog. But we never really thought about what the fog is until this message. So here we go. Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 through 19. Man, I'm excited about this one. Here we go. Verses 7 through 19. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's key. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within, without, with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. That's key. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. The word of God for the people of God. That's a great story, man. Noah's story is amazing. I love the story. And when I was reading the story, there were so many things that I wanted to highlight and kind of go back and read. And it took me some time to do it, but I've been able to really understand this story. And there's so much in this story. There's so many lessons. I'm going to focus on three lessons from this story. And I'm excited about those lessons. But Noah, this story is a phenomenal story, and I'm excited about it. So we can get started with it. You know, the first lesson that I really want to hark on, the first lesson that I really want to focus on is the lesson of discipline. You know, Noah was in a tough time, like all of us. Noah was among a generation that was really accustomed to sinning. Noah was among a generation where the people around them, they had no admiration for doing the right thing. They were struggling from the looks of the women. They were struggling from the circumstances of their lives. Noah was engulfed in an area or in a situation, in a generation of wrongdoing. But Noah taught us what discipline was. For all of our men listening, even our women, Noah taught us what discipline was. Noah was among so much wrongdoing. Noah had the front seat to infidelity. Yet and still, Noah had one wife. Come on. Noah had one wife. Noah was drowning or was swimming in a vicinity of just sin and wrongdoing and infidelity, but Noah had the discipline to say that my life and my walk with God is more important than the looks of that woman, that my right doing, that my life, that the way I should live my life is more important to me, to be in line with what God has me to do than it is for 5 minutes. Come on, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not listening. Noah made a decision. Noah was disciplined in his living that he was able to teach us that my walk and our walk with God should be more important than the temptations and the circumstances of our generations. Come on. I mean, it says here in the text. It's here in the text. It says, and it came to pass that when, and this is chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of the men and they saw that they were fair. Now, they didn't see that they were Beyonce. They didn't see that they were fair. Okay. They saw that they were fair and they took the wives and they did all they chose to do with them. All that they chose to do with them. And here Noah is living in a generation like some of us, you know, some of us living in a generation where men don't know what size pants they should wear, where women don't know how long their skirt should be. They're living in a generation where drugs and alcohol are casual at parties. They're living in a generation where academics is no longer important. They're living in a generation where their focus isn't on the things that should be. They're living in a generation where your walk with God is no longer at the front of your mind. We're living in a generation of sin and wrongdoing. We have the front seat to infidelity from our leaders, yet and still, we can still have the discipline of Noah. Noah is proving to us that the discipline has a direct correlation with the favor of God. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It says that these are the generations of Noah. It says that Noah was a just man. It says Noah was perfect in his generations, meaning not that he was a perfect man, but when Noah is compared to his generations, it is perceived that Noah is a perfect man because his generations are full of sin. They're not concerned with the walk and the will of God. They see fair women and choose to do whatever they may with them. So Noah teaches us discipline. That's the first lesson. He said there's no need to follow the masses. There's no need to follow the masses. There's a quote, and I love this quote, and I pray I got this quote from my boy E, and it's from Patrick Kelly, excuse me. And Patrick Kelly said, if you follow the masses, then you'll end up like the masses. But if you dare to be different, then your life will have significant impact. And that's real. If you look at the impact that Noah had here in this story, if you look at the things that Noah was able to do from his assignment, from his favor, from the grace that was placed upon his life because of his discipline, that alone should be in living. But then there's more. Then there's the second lesson. So there's the second lesson. I want you guys to write these lessons down, please. It's definitely a tool, and it was definitely a growth platform for me, and kind of propelled me to want to know more, to want to learn more, to want to walk a little closer. The second lesson that Noah teaches us is faith. And I think that this is a lesson that all of us are tested with, because faith. Oh, man, when your faith is being tested, you're in a storm. When your faith is being tested, you're in a tough situation. You don't know when it's going to end. You don't know what's coming next. When you're in a situation where your faith is being tested, it's tough. It's tough. I know, because every time you go through a storm, your faith gets stronger because God brings you out. But in order for your faith to be tested again, your storm has to get stronger. So your faith is getting stronger, but your storm is getting stronger. But catch this, your blessing is getting bigger, but your faith is still being tested. The second lesson that Noah teaches us is faith. And how's that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because think about this. Noah was told by God, okay, let's go to the text. God told Noah, make thee an ark of copper wood. God gave Noah direct directions. He said, make an ark of copper or cypress wood. And he said, make it with rooms in it. And he said, I want you to cover it. I want you to cover the inside and the outside of it with pitch. Okay? And he said, now catch this. He gave Noah specific instructions. It's like baking a cake. If you don't put in the right ingredients, the cake's going to fall. Or if somebody walks in the kitchen, the cake's going to fall. If you don't put in the right ingredients, the cake won't be good. God gave Noah a specific recipe to the cake. He gave Noah specific instructions for this ark. He said, this is the way you will make the ark. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its breadth shall be 50 cubits, and its height shall be 30 cubits. Now, if we change, we do the mathematical translations, he said 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall, right? This is where the faith comes in. And we're just going to act like Noah was average height. He was 6'1", and God said, you're going to make an ark, a boat that is 450 feet tall. Now, I'm 6'1". If somebody told me that I single-handedly was going to build a 450 foot long ark. Now, I would waver a little bit. I would be like, you're going to have to tell me why I need to build this ark, because I need to know why. Noah didn't ask why, but he didn't need to, because God knew already that he needed something to make him understand. He said, he gave him more instructions. He said, you shall make a roof or a window. It says in here, a window shall thou make to the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall set the side thereof with the lower, second, and third stories that thou shalt make it. But then he said that, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Now, I know that all of you would have built the ark, right? Because if God says that the flood's coming, because we know what floods do, we're going to build that ark to save our family. But here's the thing. Noah never heard of a flood. Noah was never introduced to water. Noah, or not water, excuse me, to rain. So here God is telling Noah that you need to build an ark to save the animals and your family, because I'm bringing something that you have never seen before to take life and land away. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. He is teaching us faith, because faith is the substance of things unseen. Come on. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things unseen. Noah never seen a flood. Noah never seen rain. But the Bible says that eyes have not seen. Come on, y'all not with me. That ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Noah had faith. Oh, y'all not with me. Noah had faith, therefore he acted on the word and the instructions of God. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on, somebody say Noah acted. Noah acted based on what God said, not what God showed him, or not because of things that he's seen before, not because of a blessing that was in front of you. Some of you right now are holding back on something that God has for you, are scared to step out on the water, are scared to step out on faith, are scared to be disciplined in your walk with God, because you have not seen the things that he has in store for you. I come to tell you today that God said faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things unseen. God said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love them. Come on, y'all. I'm excited. I'm extremely excited because it's here in the text. It's here in the text. It says that I'm going to bring flood of the waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh and all breath of life. It said, from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. So Noah, in a sense, Noah had to have faith. Noah must have faith in this situation because it was lose-lose for him. Okay, lucky for Noah. I understand that. But then the last, another tool and another lesson that comes from this, this is key. It's obedience. It's obedience. And this is it right here, because obedience is so important. It's so important. And I say it's so important because God gave Noah specific instructions on how to build this ark. It was specific instructions. He told Noah, he said that I want you to build an ark that is 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. Now that's not the only instructions he gave Noah, because he also told Noah, he said, you shall make a roof or a window, which is a place for light. He said, but this is the thing. You have to put it at the top of the ark. Why is that significant? That's significant because, you see, when you live in the fog, you can't see anything around you. When you're living in the fog, all you can do is look up. So God said, you can't see where you're going if you put the window on the top of the roof. Because if you saw what was going on around you, if you were able to see what was out in front of you, you wouldn't want to go where I need you to go. So put the window on the top of the roof, because the roof is where your help comes from. See, when you're in trouble, God is a present help in a time of trouble. But see, when you need him, you got to look to the hills from which cometh your help. So put the window on the roof. So when you get in trouble or when you're afraid, your God will make haste for your help. Look up to the roof, to the window on the roof, so you can see that God hasn't lied to you, that God is still there there with you. But see, God gave him specific directions because he also told him to build this ark. But he never told him to put a steering wheel in the ark. Y'all didn't get it. We're talking about living in the fog, okay? You can't see where you're going anyway. So therefore, if you had the ability to steer the ark that God told you to create, that God blessed you and your family with, you would be going in circles. You would be afraid, so you would turn the ark around and try to control your own destiny. Wrong. Your destiny is greatness because God did it. Because God said, get in the ark. Put the door on the side. He said, put the window on the roof. And when you get in trouble, look to the hills. From whence cometh thine help. He didn't give you a steering wheel because he said, I will direct your path. You don't have to worry about where you're going because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man get to heaven. No man get to their blessing. Come on. No man get to the promised land but by me. But when you live in the fog and you can't see where you're going, you have to fret not. Just, come on, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on God. It says, walk by faith and not by sight. And when you get to the promised land, when you get to the finish line, and when it's all said and done, when the fog rises, God will have you on a mountaintop looking down over all of the blessings and all of the burdens that you were thinking about before. You see, that's how this story ended. See, Noah sent out a bird, and when the bird came back, he knew it wasn't time. Noah sent out a bird. When the bird came back, he knew it still wasn't time. But when Noah sent out the bird the last time, that bird didn't come back. And Noah looked out, and he found himself sitting on top. And that's how good God is. God will move in a way so much so that when the storm is over, you won't have to worry about the flood. You won't have to worry about the storm. All you gotta do is, all you gotta do is send out a prayer. And when the prayer comes back unanswered, fret not. Just send out another prayer. And when the prayer comes back unanswered, fret not. Just send out another prayer. And God will send out a blessing so much so that you won't have room enough to receive, that you will have burdens removed and blessings restored. Come on, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He will not say it and not do it. God told Noah that he was going to remove him from his situation and put him in a better situation. And when it was all said and done, because Noah had faith, because Noah had obedience, because Noah had discipline, Noah found himself on the top of a mountain looking down on a blessing. Y'all not hearing me. I'm so excited. That's my message. That's the message that I have. And I'm excited about that message because it's real. God gave me that message. He said, live in the fog. When you're living in the fog, you can't see where you're going all the time. You're not always focused on the destination because your vision is cloudy. But if you just focus on the Lord, if you just allow the Lord to direct your path, everything will work out. Everything will work out. God is so good. I'm telling you. Listen, I'm 22 years old. And where my life is now from where it used to be, listen, I'm a witness. I'm a living witness, man. I'm a living witness that God will never leave you. And that life with him, life with Jesus Christ, it's better than any other life you can fathom, any other life you can think of. I promise you, listen, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you got to do is turn your life over to Christ. That's all you got to do. It's worth it. It's worth it. I'm 22 years old, and I'm telling you, my life, people say all the time, you're mature beyond your years. You know, your destiny is greatness. And my response is, God did it. God did it. I'm a living witness, man. God is amazing. I promise all of you, God is amazing. And the thing about his word is it's instructions on how to live our lives. It gives us information. It gives us the recipe. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. The instructions are there. Don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. It's there. Fear not. Be not dismayed. God is right here. His word is right here. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm all worked up. That's why I'm giving this word. That's why I'm giving the message that God gave to me. And I hope it blessed somebody. I hope it moved somebody. Because that's what it's all about. It's about honoring him and lifting up his kingdom. It's about witnessing to others and trying to bring more people into Christ. And I'm excited about the blessing that he's bestowed upon me and the ability to do so. You know, so please, to everybody listening, to everybody who just clicked on the link or who just saw it on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, to anybody who's listening to this, if you're not saved, I'm telling you right now, God is the way. He's the way. He's the way, man. I'm excited that you have the opportunity still with breath in your lungs to turn your life over. And all you got to do is confess with your mouth that he is Lord. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And that he rose again on the third day and that he's coming back. He's coming back to save us. Because that's real. Because that's real. And I believe that and I know that is true. Because God has done too much for me not to. And he'll do the same for you. Listen, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And that doesn't mean that I'm better than you. That doesn't mean that I'm bigger or smarter or that doesn't mean that I'm better than you. But being a Christian, it means that I'm redeemed. It means that I'm redeemed. Listen, I'm far from perfect. I'm not perfect. I said it at the top of the show. I probably sin the same way you have. But I'm redeemed. God got me. When you're walking in the fog, when you're walking in the favor of God, you don't have to worry about the rest of the fog. All you got to do is focus on him. Look up through the window. Look up through the window that God told you to build. That's the connection. That's the covenant. That's the promise. That's the promise that he instilled in you. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to look up through the window to him. Focus on him. And when you begin to focus on him, I promise, and you start fasting and praying, your life is going to change drastically. God is going to start moving in a magnificent way. I'm telling you, burdens will be removed. Blessings will be restored. Blessings will overflow your life so much so you won't have room enough to receive them. I'm speaking it into everyone's life right now. It's time. I just want to pray. I just want to pray. I'm going to pray with everybody that's listening. Sometimes you just have to pray. And you just have to have an intimate relationship with God. You have to turn the TVs off. Turn the lights off. It's just you and him. And you're talking to him like he's your best friend. You're talking to him like you just met him. You got to talk to him and be real. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm not condemning speaking in tongues. I'm saying that's not how I talk to God. I'm not speaking in tongues. You don't have to say God our Father. God does not demand that. When you begin to build your relationship, when you begin to focus your relationship and become strong with God, you greet him with the respect he deserves. But that relationship between you and him is personal. You can talk to him like I'm talking to you. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come before you. To come before your people. Thank you for the word that you gave to me to give to them. Lord, I'm excited about their future. Everyone who has accepted Christ as their personal Savior, I'm excited about their future. Because they made a decision that's going to change their life forever. They made a decision that says that they're going to live in Christ. And when they die, it's a game. And I'm excited for them, Lord God. Because I know you're going to maneuver in magnificent ways in their life like you've done for all of those that follow you, Father God. And to those that didn't, to those that didn't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior on this show, Lord God, we just ask that you allow somebody in their circle to be praying for them, somebody close to them to be praying for them as much as I am today, so that their spirit will be moved and uplifted, that the burdens that they feel, that the neglect that they feel, that the insecurities that they have, that they will be replaced with faith, because faith is forgetting about the insecurities and trusting you and trusting Him. Faith for F, Father God. About for A. Insecurities for I. Trust for T. And Him for H, Lord God. Forgetting about all insecurities. Forgetting about the impossible. Forgetting about the seemingly inevitable. And trusting in Him. Trusting in you, God. So as we bow our heads today, Lord God, we pray for the saints and those that are listening that are saved, Father God. We pray, you know, conviction over their lives, Lord God. We pray financial breakthrough for all of them, Lord God. We claim healing over their bodies, Lord God. Healing over their minds, healing over their spirit. We claim growth every day, Lord God. Growth spiritually, physically, emotionally, Lord God, financially, Lord God. We claim growth in everything that they do. Everything that they speak, Father God. Everything that they touch, Lord God. We claim a power over their lives and over their tongue, Lord God. Lord, you said life and death lies with the power of the tongue. Lord God, we claim life, Father God. Lord, you're so worthy. Lord, we're so worthy. We thank you just for being God. We thank you just for being all-powerful. We thank you for being all-knowing, Father God. Lord, you're the beginning and the end, Lord God. Alpha and Omega, Lord God. Come on. Lord, we're excited about who you are. We're excited about our relationship with you, Lord God. We thank you for the hands that you laid on us. We thank you for the hands that you laid on our family. Lord, we claim healing over our families. We claim healing over our friends, Lord God. We claim healing over our enemies, Father God. We pray over our jobs and over our homes, Lord God. We pray over our finances, Lord God. We pray over our teams and over our organizations. We pray over our churches and over our ministries, Father God. We pray over our choir loft and our pastor in the pulpit, Father God. We claim the victory in everything that we are a part of, Lord God. We understand that you are the way, the truth, and the light, Lord God. That's why we are coming to you right now. Lord, you said if we humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, Lord God, if we turn from our wicked ways, then, Father God, we will heal the land and hear from heaven. And that's what it's all about, Lord God. Humbling ourselves, Lord God. Humble our minds and humble our hearts. Humble our minds, Father God, so that we may properly serve you. I'm extremely excited about everyone who's listening to Future. And those who haven't, Lord God, allow them to get a blessing elsewhere that might change their life in a magnificent and monumental way, Father God. Lord, we thank you. Because we know that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask. So the asks that we have are trivial. But we know that you're going to work in a magnificent way. So it's in your son Jesus' name that we pray, and we thank you. And we thank all of our listeners as well. Amen. I pray that this message was a blessing to some of you, a blessing to all of you, and that it made your relationship with God closer, or that it brought you out of a situation that you were in. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Amen. Goodbye.